Judith Smith, professor of American Studies at University of Massachusetts Boston and author of Becoming Belafonte, Black Artist, Public Radical. Great to have you here, Professor. First, about the Black artist side of Harry Belafonte. Tell us a little bit about how he came to be such a force in music.
Belafonte trained as an actor after he got out of the Navy, but there weren't any jobs. There were very few jobs for Black actors. And he was hanging out after acting classes at a jazz club where the owner of the jazz club said, offered him a job. He'd sung in a performance for in his acting program at the New School. And the club owner offered him a job singing at intermission. And that's where he started to do musical labor rather than physical labor to support himself. He stopped pushing racks in the garment district and began to make a career as a singer. But what he really wasn't in a way suited to singing jazz. He didn't read music and it really wasn't his medium. He wanted to break out and to sing what he thought of as folk music, the songs from around the world that expressed Black culture and Black experience. And that's where he really made his mark. I think of him as a performance artist as well as a singer, because he brought everything with him into his performance, his face, his body, the songs. And he was, by all accounts, an extremely charismatic performer. That he sang and developed and traveled singing what we would now call almost world music, but a variety of kinds of music, work songs, labor songs, international songs. And he always tried to keep up that variety in his musical expression. He then, you know, got picked up by, you know, Hollywood producers saw him perform, and he got picked up in movies. He made a few movies in the 50s. A modest one, Bright Road, and then Carmen Jones, which was a really big movie.
Professor, was he in a sense the predecessor to Sidney Poitier? They were friendly rivals, were they?
Well, Poitier couldn't sing. I mean, Poitier they came of age at the same time. They knew each other from the from acting circles. Poitier got his big break. There was a part that Belafonte was supposed to play, but he couldn't do it. And Poitier was the understudy. So then Poitier got the part, and that somebody saw him from Hollywood and gave him his big break. But of course, it took him a long time from small parts to actually being a movie star. So Poitier was the actor and movie star. Belafonte didn't have the career as an actor. He wasn't able to bring his full performance self into his parts until maybe later when he's in Kansas City, which Altman directs him.
Was he frustrated in his acting career because they didn't want to have any sort of a suggestion of a romance between him and a white actor?
Well, what he did, I mean, those were the constraints, which obviously Poitier operated under also. And what Belafonte had the resource of his recording career and his performance career to be able to criticize those Hollywood limitations. So Poitier, who wanted to act in Hollywood, wasn't in a position to do that. And Belafonte used his position to maintain sharp criticisms of Hollywood's racial compromises and limitations.
And about his civil rights activism, I'm just reading in the New York Times version of Belafonte's obituary that they say his spacious apartment on West End Avenue in Manhattan became Dr. King's home away from home. How significant a figure was Belafonte in the civil rights movement?
Well, Belafonte played a really important role as King's supporter and advisor. He met King right when King came to New York, I think early in 56, to raise money for the Montgomery bus boycott. And he was really impressed by King. He felt like he was this hurricane. You know, how did this thing happen, the bus boycott? As he said in an interview, this thing that happened wasn't on the drawing board of the Communist Party. It wasn't on the drawing board of the NAACP. It wasn't on the drawing board of anybody that ever professed to be committed to the plight of Black people. There were no precedents for King's mass movement in Montgomery. So Belafonte felt like, and King asked Belafonte for help. And at that point, Belafonte committed himself to King's vision. We have no idea where this will go. It's already gotten larger than anything we imagined. So I think Belafonte played a very important role as a sounding board for King. That's what they were doing in that apartment. They were sort of theorizing and talking, as a mobilizer of financial resources to support King and to defend King against the various attacks, and as a willing fundraiser to have benefits to raise money for the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. Okay. He was just a wonderful colleague to King throughout. Mm-hmm.
Judith Smith, professor of American Studies at University of Massachusetts Boston, author of Becoming Belafonte, Black Artist, Public Radical.